Good morning.
Nice to worship with you in person and also online on this beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. You know, I almost didn't come to church today because there are hypocrites in church. The church is full of hypocrites, ourselves included. Have you heard that excuse for people not coming to church? What's your response to them? Think about that as we hear the word of our Lord this day. Where better to be, though, than in the house of the Lord with fellow hypocrites? And yet, it's that yet that we will focus on in our worship this morning. God be praised as we turn our attention to the invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. God our Father, each day is a gift of your grace.
Your mercies are new every morning.
Guide our steps by the light of your word.
Shield us from harm and keep us from evil.
Better than life is your love.
Put joy in our hearts and praise on our lips. Hallelujah.
Praise be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Please stand. From Lamentations 3, this I call to mind.
And therefore I hope.
Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
I say to myself,
the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him.
The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, though he brings grief, he will show compassion.
So great is his unfailing love.
For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men.
Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord.
Let us confess our sins to the Lord.
Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us according to your promises in Christ Jesus.
God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and Savior. Jesus paid for the guilt of our sins by his death on the cross and freed us from death by his resurrection from the grave. We have peace with God now and forever.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Let us give glory to God, our light and our life. Let your continual mercy, O Lord, cleanse and defend your church. And because it cannot continue in safety without your help, protect and govern it always by your goodness.
For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. As we turn our attention to the word of our Lord for this Sunday, these responsive sentences from Psalm 119. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens.
Your faithfulness continues to all generations. You establish the earth and it endures.
How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path.
Reading from Holy Scripture through the prophet Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. God does not take pleasure in the consequences of sin, and so he calls us out to repentance, and he encourages us to do the same with others. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade them from their ways, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person to turn from their ways, and they do not do so, they will die for their sin, though you yourself will be saved. Son of man, say to the Israelites, this is what you are saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, people of Israel? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hypocrisy cannot be tolerated, especially in the church. And also a reminder that works are designed to show that faith exists, not to be a way to earn faith. This reminder from our Holy Scripture, Galatians 2. When Cephas, that is Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel reading. From Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 18th chapter, pointing out the fact that accountability is not an option. And so let us continue to hold people accountable and speak the truth in and with love. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now turn to our invitation.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and this through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We focus our attention back on these words from Galatians 2. The Apostle Paul writes, "When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, 'You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?'" This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Feel redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and give a shout out to him each day because of the salvation he has given to you. A salvation given to you not by your works, but by his grace through the gift of faith. Back in school, if you can remember that, and some of you still are in school, you have the cool kids and you have the not so cool kids. You don't have to answer out loud which one you were or which one people thought you were. Everybody wanted to be or at least hang out with the cool kids. Now that's an exaggeration, everybody. You were or are neutral, trying to get along with everybody, with the cool kids and who were considered the not cool kids. Yet at times when you were in the hallway or outside in the parking lot talking to a group of kids who were considered the not cool kids, and some from the cool kids would come along, you then would find yourself disassociating yourself with the not cool kids because you did not want to be seen fraternizing with the not cool kids, even though you tried to be neutral. Well, just because we are adults doesn't mean that mentality just automatically goes away. It still happens. It happens even in church lobbies. Some people, we can give the impression not worth even acknowledging their presence because they are new and so they don't fit in yet. And until they fit in, as we determine, we're not going to acknowledge their presence. But how are they going to fit in? Because they won't come back, because this church will get a reputation that they won't acknowledge you unless you're one of the group, and the church won't grow, and then we'll scratch our head and wonder why. Hypocrites don't belong in the church. And yet hypocrites are welcome in the church, because where else are hypocrites, you and me, going to hear the law that we need to hear to be repentant of our hypocrisy and thus hear the gospel and let that wash over us to be reassured that we are forgiven and motivated then to not be hypocrites anymore? Knowing, though, that's going to be a day in and day battle, because some of us, for some reason, just like to push people down. And we got to work on that day in and day out, don't we? Whether it be in the church, in the home, in society. It's nothing new, though, right? I mean, the Lord reminds us that this has been going on ever since really the fall into sin. And we have evidence of it here in our focus scripture for today. We say that we are God's child. And yet at times, intentionally or not, it can seem that our words and our actions do not match up with that confession of being God's child. And so the Lord reminds us today that our words and our actions, they do need to match up. Not just in theory, but in reality. Let's take the Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter incident. I mean, this is the Apostle Peter being called out by the Apostle Paul. This was not an easy task for Paul, and it wasn't easy for Peter to have to hear. But Peter needed to hear it, and Paul needed to say it. Because if the shoe was reversed, Paul would want Peter to call him out. Peter acted differently. I mean, he knew that we are not saved by our works. He knew that Jews and Gentiles could hang out together. He knew that their foods were no longer restricted for the Jews, that they were free to eat what they could. They could have a ham sandwich guilt-free. And the Apostle Peter most likely was eating a ham sandwich with the people in Antioch as he was hanging out with the Gentiles. But as soon as some from Jerusalem came who were associated or perhaps new people of the circumcision group, you had to be circumcised in order to be a true follower of God. If word got back to them, Peter was like, what will they think of me? He had a weak moment. And so he put that ham sandwich aside, like, I'm not eating that. Well, then fellow Jews who were in Antioch and joined the company of the Gentile, well, what ham sandwich? And then even Barnabas, the son of encouragement. Peter, did you have a ham sandwich? I didn't have a ham sandwich. Did you see a ham sandwich? And that's why Paul had to call him out. Wake up. Get out of your childish behavior. Didn't God say that Jew and Gentile are alike? We're both born in sin and both redeemed by the Savior Jesus Christ. It no longer matters if you eat a ham sandwich or not. Don't do it because you think you're getting closer to heaven by eating or not eating a ham sandwich. Now, when we take a step back and look at our own lives, sometimes isn't it ridiculous what we can get caught up in? And so we too then need to be called out for the hypocrisy that exists sometimes in us and through us, words and actions not matching up. You know, we talk about God as love and how we are to be loving, but then at times we're not the most loving people. Words and actions are not matching up. And we need to be called out on that. And when it happens in public, well, we need to have a public admonition. Not with the intent of shaming that person so they never show their face again, but because it was a public offense, we need to show that we deal with sin seriously. Now, if it's a private matter, not everybody knows about it because it didn't make Facebook. Now we deal with it privately, and we leave it there. We don't put it on Facebook or any other social platform. God grant us the wisdom to know when we need to deal with a brother or sister publicly or privately. And that's what Jesus gets into with that Matthew 18. If you know of a brother or a sister who sins, who's being hypocritical, whose words and actions are not matching up, for example, then go to that person. And if that person says, get away from me. I don't want to talk to that person. I don't like what they look like. And yet, as James would say, you sit in the house of the Lord, and out of your mouth come praises, but the next moment curses are coming. Then you take a trusted associate along to point out, hey, you can't be praising God one minute with that same mouth and then cursing that person in the street or in the church lobby or wherever with that same tongue. It doesn't work that way. Your words and your actions need to match up. And if that person still refuses, then you take it to the church, the leaders in the church. And then they look into the matter with the hope of, and all the readings touch on this, with the hope of repentance. You know what? My words and my actions have not been matching up. I say I love you, Lord, but I don't love this person. Now, God's not saying we're going to be chummy chum with everybody. But we are to show the love of God to everybody. What does that love of God look like? Whether they eat ham or not. It looks like forgiveness. Do you want to be forgiven of the wrongs that you have done? Do you want a brother or a sister, a husband or a wife, a family member to be forgiving of you? Then we need to be forgiving as well. Don't we pray that in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us as we forgive. If we're not willing to forgive, then the God's not going to be willing to forgive us, and rightly so. That's not fair. You going to tell God that's not fair? I'm not standing next to you. Because what does God want for people? He wants their salvation. He wants them to get along. He says, I don't take pleasure in the death of anyone. But who brings the death upon themselves? God's given us the recipe for success. And if we walk away from it, that's not on him, that's on us. But we don't like to take the blame for anything, so we'll blame God or somebody else. They looked at me funny. Unfortunately, that happens. We're sinful human beings. Have you looked at anybody funny? Practice forgiveness. Practice patience. Practice kindness. Isn't that what Jesus has taught us? Aren't our words and our actions to line up with his words and actions? Now, his were perfectly in our, but ours will not be. And so what does that call for? Repentance. And sometimes we got to be called out by a brother or sister in faith, so that that ugliness of sin doesn't get a hold of us and keep us in a relationship with Jesus now and forever. You know, sometimes our church body has been accused of being smug because we're not going to associate with anybody and everybody around the prayer circle, for example. And if it's because we're adhering to the scriptures and not willing to compromise, well, then that's a name we have to bear. But if it's because we're holding to some human tradition, or because we're given the impression that we are better than we deserve that term, and it needs to be sinking in with us that that's not a term of love. So there's a time when it's fitting, and there's a time when it's not. God grant us the wisdom to know which is which. God help us understand that our words and our actions are to match up, not just in theory, but also in reality. Because the Apostle Paul reminded Peter and the group, and reminds us today too by inspiration, where does the focus always need to be? Where's the spotlight to be? If it's shining on you, it's in the wrong place. If it's shining on Christ, it's the right place. So what are we doing to help keep the spotlight shining on Christ? Not just in the church setting, but outside the church. Because Christianity is a 24/7 thing. It's a way of life. It's not just when it's convenient to be a Christian. And what's at the heart of being a Christian, why is the spotlight to be shining on Christ? Paul spells it out for us. Because we have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. The law points out our need for the Savior, where we fall short. It points out our hypocrisy in saying, I love you, Jesus, but then do something different. I love you so-and-so, but then we do something different. In God's eyes, everybody's the cool kid because everybody's been redeemed by his blood. What makes us cool is not who we are, but who Christ has made us. And as the cool kid, aren't we to associate with those and bring around those others so they can be cool? Not in the eyes of society, but in the eyes of Jesus. Isn't that our mission? And so God help us have our words and our actions match up, keeping the focus on the gospel, in particular on the work of Jesus, the one we are to have faith in. And firmly grounded in what he has done for us. He lived a life free of hypocrisy. And he took his free life of hypocrisy to the cross, where he paid for all our hypocrisy and every other sin that we have committed in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. He nailed such to the cross and said, you know what, I'm leaving them there, paid for, atoned for, not to be brought up against you again and again. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. Now live as that forgiven, redeemed child of God. And you can, because the Holy Spirit is the one who works in us that connection to Jesus and his cross and the freedom that cross has given to us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us resist Satan, who tries to put the handcuffs back on us and live hypocritical lives. And so we need to stay connected to the gospel, recognizing it's not by our works, it's not by who we are, it's not by what our position is, it's all about Christ. And so God help our words and our actions always represent the fact that it is about Christ. The focus is on Jesus. And isn't that what Peter was alluding to when he said, always be ready to give the reason for the hope that you have. What is it that makes you tick? Why are you forgiving and patient and kind and compassionate and holding people accountable when they need to be held accountable? And what gives you hope? And sometimes what is a hopeless world? Jesus and his cross. Now, do our words and your actions match that up? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I just don't believe in going to church. How do those two match up? They don't. You know, I believe in Jesus. He was a good person. Probably should follow his example when it's convenient to do so. How does that match up? How can we be ready to give the reason for the hope that we have when we're not living that hope? And when we catch ourselves not living that hope, where do you go? Back to the cross. Where you realize you're forgiven. Set free from that hypocrisy. So what does that mean? Well, what's the eighth commandment? What does this mean end with? That we take things in the worst possible way. No, that we take things in the kindest and most best way. Putting the best construction on things at first. And if we find different, that we don't then call people out outside of that person, but we call that person out and say, did you really mean to say that? That way? Is that really walking in line with Jesus? Are your words and your actions really lining up? Matthew 18 comes into play. So God help us always work on having our words and our actions match up, not just in theory, but in reality, so that the focus can always remain on Jesus, for that is how then we are truly saved. Not by what we do, but what he has done. That's the reputation we want to be known for. Reputations can be hard to overcome. But as we said, if we're adhering to Scripture and people are not okay with that, that's on them, not on us. But if we are doing something that is not lining up with Jesus, our words and actions, that is on us. Something has to change. And the Lord has made that clear, what that is. Our words and our actions need to match. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join together in a confession of faith based on the third article. It begins on the bottom of page 8.
We join together. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
What are we meaning to say with these words?
I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, and let me be with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith.
In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith.
In this Christian church, he daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all dead, and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ.
This is most certainly true. Please be seated.
We pray. Grant us, O Lord, to live each day in gladness and peace, without stumbling and without stain, that reaching the evenings victorious over all temptation, we may praise you, the eternal God, for you govern all things and are praised now and forever. Make us instruments of your peace, where there is hatred, where there is injury, where there is doubt, where there is despair, where there is darkness, where there is sadness. O Lord, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. Dwell in our homes, O Lord, and let the trust of our families be centered in you alone, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity rob us of the conviction that you are our helper in every time of need. Relieve the afflictions of the weary and the sick, and dry the tears of the troubled and sorrowful. Lead them to look to you as the unfailing spring of healing and hope.
Help us to believe and trust in him, love and serve him, that in all our thoughts, words, and actions, we may manifest his spirit. Rebuke our selfishness and subdue our self-indulgence. Deepen our sympathies, strengthen our hope, and confirm us in our faith.
Take our silver and our gold. Not a mite would we withhold. Take our intellect and use every power as you shall choose. Take our love, O Lord, we pour. At your feet its treasure store. Take ourselves and we will be ever only all for you. We thank you, Lord, for those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. As you have watched over them through life to this point, we trust you will continue to watch over them. The love between a husband and a wife is also a gift from you. May those couples among us able to celebrate this gift be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. Thank you, Lord, for watching over Martha Kohler during her recent stay in the hospital. Continue, we pray, to bring healing to her body, as well as refreshing her soul with your gospel. Lord, be with the Lowell Donahoe family, which includes Carolyn, Heather, Aaron, and Jennifer, as they mourn the loss of their husband, father, and grandfather. Remind them of the work your Son has done on the cross, that all people might be saved through faith in him. Help them be your witnesses during this time of sorrow. Be their source of true and lasting rest to turn to in their time of need. Hear us for Jesus' sake, and hear us as we also bring you our private petitions. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
We also pray,
our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power,
We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Into that. Just a reminder, a new Bible study starting today, His Hand Among the Nations. So we get to be reminded of how really God is in charge and in control. And so when we feel shaken at the way things are going in this world, just a good heartfelt reminder that His hand is among the nations. He is in control. So come for that study. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, the rally is next month at Mount Calvary in Reading. You can read more about that in the weekly news as well as on the information board. And part of that rally then is collecting the mission box money. And so for the whole leading up to the rally here on in, every Sunday you'll have an opportunity to support the missions of LWMS through those mission boxes located in the lobby. Pastor Waterstrad's victory service, it will be held here tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. with a potluck to follow, and continue to keep the family in our prayers. See the weekly news and also then the email blast that went out. If you have pictures that you want to share as memories, even though maybe the memory boards are made already, but yet there's still opportunity to share pictures and other things over the lunch hour. Starting point. Our big class begins this coming Saturday at 9:30. The first one will be held here in the church. And so everyone's welcome to come for a review of Scripture, as well as to welcome those who are attending the class for the first time. And this is also an opportunity to consider membership with us here at St. Mark's. Weekly news, just an encouragement to read through it, to stay connected with what's going on here at church and school. Anytime you have questions, just reach out to one of us on the staff. We'll try to answer those questions. And now we see the work that we support together throughout our church body, the Wells Connection.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. Just a few weeks ago, more than 400 delegates met in Saginaw, Michigan for our Synod's 67th Biennial Convention. The goal was to celebrate God's blessings on our past ministry and, importantly, to set in motion our church body's plans for the future. Brothers, I hereby declare that this convention of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod is now in session.
The theme for this convention, Embrace the Cross, Anticipate the Crown, reminds us of our most precious blessing and our most important message as a church body.
We preach Christ crucified. We deliver the goods via word and sacrament. Let's die to all of it, to anyone and anything other than Christ crucified. There he saves. There he promises to us a crown.
Just share a brief summary about where these new starts were approved.
2023 is the first year of our Synod's ambitious initiative to start 100 new home missions and enhance the mission endeavors of 75 other churches during the next 10 years. 9 of the new home missions have already been approved. 1 more will be approved this fall.
Those people who are lost aren't raising their hands and they're not saying, send a pastor to us, send a pastor to me. I don't know the gospel. I want you to tell me about the gospel. And so there's this balance that we recognize, that we want those who are being served with the gospel to continue to be served with the gospel. But equally important is the importance of those who don't know the gospel and don't know Jesus.
Our Synod's ministry financial plan, approved by the delegates and supported by generous congregation mission offerings and special gifts, provides resources to maintain and grow the exciting opportunities we have to share Christ's love through our areas of ministry during the next 2 years.
The Lord has blessed us immensely with gifts, and it's good to see that and to see the reports given and what they contain.
A high point of the convention was the declaration of fellowship with the Obadiah Lutheran Synod in Uganda.
Fellowship is a great blessing from our Lord and something He wants to give us.
And the affirmation of fellowship with a church body in Latin America called Iglesia Cristo Wells Internacional.
Lo único que pasa por mi corazón y por mi cabeza es mucha alegría. De saber que vamos a trabajar juntos en el reino de Dios. Es lo que vamos a hacer nosotros en armonía, llevar el mensaje de salvación, las buenas noticias de salvación a otra gente que no conoce de esa buena noticia que Cristo nos dio.
I have to bring you news, joyful news, that long prayed for and supported work by Wells in Vietnam has seen a huge milestone.
World Missions updated delegates on exciting news from Vietnam regarding the recent dedication of our new Theological Education Center for leaders of the Hmong Fellowship Church.
Bigger than the building, throughout this time that we have been navigating through the difficult red tape of the Vietnamese government over about 4 years of this project, the whole time they have allowed us to train our first cohort of pastors. And just this last month, the first 55 pastors of the Hmong Fellowship Church graduated.
Another important order of business was the election of synodical leaders. Second Vice President Pastor Joel Voss was re-elected, and President Mark Schrader was re-elected to his 5th term. He has been faithfully serving as Synod President for 16 years.
I humbly accept your call as Synod President. And I do so with the prayer that God would continue to work in you as members of our synod through his powerful word, working a stronger faith and continuing to work in you the zeal to carry the message of the gospel to people around the world.
The convention was held at Michigan Lutheran Seminary, one of our synod's two prep schools, which helps prepare high school students to serve as pastors, teachers, and staff ministers. One of the biggest opportunities our church body has is to encourage and train men and women to serve as Christ's ambassadors.
The need for called workers is certainly great, and so as the Lord gives us opportunities to reach more and more, certainly we want more teachers, staff ministers, pastors, to encourage those people in their lives of faith.
Being able to contribute, participate, and understand really what goes into running of a church body, all the different parts that make up the whole, all of the intricate decision-making that has to go on and make the church run to God's glory the way it does.
For more details on all the events of the convention, as well as the gospel ministries you support with your congregation mission offerings, visit the Synod Convention website at wellsconvention.net.